Good evening. Welcome to our evening service on the 10th of May, 2020. As we dive into our new series on the minor prophets chronologically, we just started last week looking in the book of Joel, which is the oldest of the minor prophet books. In chapter 1, we saw God warning his people about their sin, their wandering from God, and how their joy had withered away. This evening, we actually look at the heart of the message of the book of Joel, which is about the day of the Lord, the coming judgment of God. And so we'll be looking at that this evening, starting in verse 15 of Joel chapter 1. If you'd like to follow along with me, the Bible says, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness." So the Bible says here, the day of the Lord is at hand, here in verse 15, and that'll be our title tonight as we continue through Joel. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom, use your word as we look at the day of the Lord this evening. Teach us from it and guide us in your truth. We are grateful for this opportunity to look into your word together online and to pray for your will in this time. And we need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want you to notice tonight the word that God uses to describe the day of the Lord. And that word is destruction. When Jesus came the first time, he came as a babe in a manger. When Jesus comes the second time, he will come as a conquering judge on a white horse with a two-edged sword. The day of the Lord will be a time of destruction. The primary prophecy here is about the tribulation period, which will begin as soon as the rapture is complete. But I want you to see tonight that there's many other words that God uses to describe the day of the Lord, and they all have this similar theme. So I just want to look at a few scriptures together. Go to Isaiah 13. And verse 9, and we'll see tonight that the day of the Lord is not a time of joy, not a time of blessings, but a time of, as we see here, destruction. In other words, we'll see. Now, I look at Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. The Bible says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger." So here we see God using the words wrath and anger to describe the coming day of the Lord. Now go to Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 10. And again, we're talking about the day of the Lord and some of the words that God uses to describe the coming day of the Lord. Chapter 46, verse 10 of Jeremiah. "This is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates." So here we see a day of vengeance. We saw in Isaiah wrath and anger. We saw here in Joel destruction. And then go to Joel chapter 2 this time. Remember, the book of Joel, of all the minor prophets, actually, of all the books in the Old Testament, is the book with the highest percentage of verses that are prophetic. Two-thirds of the book of Joel is prophetic. So the day of the Lord is also talked about in chapter 2 of Joel. Look down at chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Then the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" So notice, just to kind of get a theme here, here in Joel chapter 1, verse 15, he says it's a destruction. In Isaiah, he calls it a wrath and fierce anger. In Jeremiah, vengeance. And now here in Joel 2:11, it's great and very terrible. So this is God's description of the coming day of the Lord. It's a time of judgment, and it will take place primarily in a battle, if you will. And if you want to look in Joel chapter 3 this time, and we'll eventually get here as we walk through Joel. But look at chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "And I also will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." Now, many people have heard about this valley, and it has other names which we'll look at. But look at Joel chapter 3, verse 14. "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." So one of the climaxes of the day of the Lord will be this final battle in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And God has a lot of descriptions of this battle, about the blood coming up to the horses' bridles and so forth. So the day of the Lord is coming. And the day of the Lord, as we see, is a time of judgment. Now for us as Christians, it means that Jesus is coming back, and that we have been, if you will, rescued from this judgment and this destruction and this wrath through salvation in Jesus Christ. But the day is still coming. And if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll see that even the New Testament warns us about the coming day of the Lord. But for us as Christians, it's actually something to look forward to, because it begins with the rapture and we'll be gone. We won't be here to experience the wrath, as we're told in 1 Thessalonians, where we've been saved from wrath to come. But notice here in chapter 5, verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." The world is not expecting it. The Lord will not be ready for it. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Sadly, a lot of Christians won't be ready for it. The Bible says some Christians will be ashamed at His coming. But notice here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." So again, we're warned that it will come as a thief in the night. Go to Jude 14, talking about the day of the Lord in the New Testament. Jude 14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." So when Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation period, this time of wrath and anger and Jacob's trouble and so forth, we come back with Him. 10,000s of His saints return with Him. And then this final battle of Armageddon takes place, which we are not involved in. We just get to observe. We watch Jesus win it. And that battle is described in Revelation chapter 19, if you want to turn over there. So if you take the book of Revelation chronologically, which we always should, we have the letters to the churches in the first three chapters. We have the church in heaven in chapters 4 and 5, because in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Come up hither." Chapters 6 through 18, we have the tribulation period. The largest section of Revelation talks about that seven-year time of judgment. And then in here in chapter 19, we have the return of Jesus Christ to the earth with His saints, with us. And we see this battle that we just read about in the valley of Jehoshaphat. So notice in Revelation chapter 19, down in verse 11, the Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God." That's how we know it's Jesus. "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." That's you and me, coming back with our robes of righteousness. "And out of His mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." So here we see the wrath of God culminating in this battle and judgment. "And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So we see that the devil will round up many of the people on the earth to fight against Jesus Christ. And of course they lose in this battle. So this day of the Lord is coming. It's not going to be a pleasant thing. It will be a time of judgment upon the earth, and then culminating with the return of Jesus and his judgment of the nations. What should you and I do? We won't be involved in this wrath time, but we need to warn others that they also can avoid it, and that it's coming, and that it's real, and that God is real, and his judgment is real. And he will judge the earth again, and Israel, and the people that are here. So what do we need to do? The Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5:11. We need to be persuading others that Jesus Christ died for them and rose again and offers them eternal life. But he also offers us to be rescued from the wrath that is to come. Because the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. So for you and I, the day of the Lord begins when we leave. Hallelujah. And you can read about that, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the rapture when God takes the church out, and then begins the day of the Lord, the time of wrath upon the earth. So go back to our passage here in Joel chapter 1 and verse 15, where God says that this day of the Lord is a time of destruction. And he goes on to say here in chapter 8, or sorry, verse 18, how did the beast groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. In other words, God's saying things are going to keep getting worse. And sure enough, if we look at the church age, that is true. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. God never promises that things are going to get better from a world perspective during the church age. As a matter of fact, he tells us about the latter days in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. He tells us about the end times in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. He only tells us things will get worse. That's okay. We're going to heaven. Jesus is coming back to get us and will take us home. But when that happens, the wrath begins. The day of the Lord begins. And so the solution for Israel, verse 19 of Joel chapter 1, O Lord, to thee will I cry. That was the solution. They needed to realize that the day of the Lord was coming, and they needed to repent. They needed to come back to God. They needed to find salvation in the Lord, which is what everyone needs. And if we'll find that, we will avoid this coming time of wrath and judgment that God will pour out upon his earth. So we need to be ready. We need to be looking for Jesus to come back. We need to be in prayer. David said, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice, in Psalm 55:17. We need to be praying without ceasing, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We need to be studying, as we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be trusting the Lord, not our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on unto thine own understanding. We need to be just trusting the Lord. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We need to be serving the Lord. The Bible says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. We need to be in church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And you know, ultimately, we need to be walking like Jesus. 1 John 2:6, let's turn there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. This is what God wants. He wants us to be growing, to becoming more like our wonderful Savior that has given us eternal life. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. God wants us to walk as Jesus walked. He wants us to be just like Jesus. And he wants us to be looking. Jesus said, therefore be also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. Be ready. Be expecting it. And there's a purifying effect. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 3:3 that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. In other words, he's ready. He's expecting Jesus to come back and is looking and waiting for it. It says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. When he comes, wrath upon the earth. We get to go to glory. Go to Philippians chapter 3. God says we need to be looking for this. We need to be expecting it. You know, God told the Israelites through Joel, judgment is coming. And yes, it's been hundreds of years since that was given, but it's still coming. That judgment, the day of the Lord, is coming. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. My friend, that's what you should be doing, looking for the Savior, knowing that judgment is coming. Knowing that we will face judgment as Christians at the judgment seat of Christ for our works, but not for our sins. Those of us that are not Christians will be left behind to see this time of wrath poured out upon the earth, a time of horrible plagues and people dying, and then culminating with Jesus returning and judging. And then those who didn't get saved have to stand before the great white throne judgment described in Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15, and be judged based on their sins and be cast into the lake of fire. All that can be avoided if we believe God's word, if we believe the gospel that Jesus died and rose again and offers us to be saved from our sins and the consequences of our sins, which is the lake of fire. So God warned the Israelites. They didn't listen. He said, the day of the Lord is coming. We get to the New Testament, and God's disciples, through his words, say, the day of the Lord is coming. Be ready. Be expecting it. Prepare yourself. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be in church. Be walking like Jesus. Do right and expect that at any moment the Lord Jesus Christ will return. You got to understand, in God's calendar, 1,000 years is like a day. Time means nothing to God. And so when he told Israel 2,800 years ago, the day of the Lord is at hand, it is at hand. 2,800 years is nothing to God. And it could be tomorrow that the day of the Lord comes. So what do we need to do? We need to expect it. We need to warn others about it. And we need to be preparing for it by giving Jesus our all. By serving him with all that we are, all that we have, to take up the cross daily, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus, because the day of the Lord is at hand. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, for this warning, Lord, and the effect that it has in our Christian walk, and may we take it seriously that you're coming back and that the judgment is coming, and may we prepare by getting saved and by doing what we need to do so that we won't be ashamed at his coming. So thank you, Lord, for this warning from your word. May we take heed, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday night.